Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, through your power, Holy Spirit, and we just want to receive from you this morning, and we want to honor you with our hearts and with our lips. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're done with 5 months of this year. How fast it has gone, right?
Wow.
Oh, yes.
So I wanted to suggest what we're going to do for the next 6 months, if we're here. When he takes us out of here, then it's not our schedule anymore at all. It's his. And I think we will go through the book of Acts. I think we'll do one chapter a week.
Wow.
We're going to read it. We spend a lot of time on one, two verses, or on a word or two or three, and that is really good to really zero down and look in. But it's also good to look at a whole chapter. And I don't think there's any better teaching vehicle in the Bible generally for the Christian walk than the book of Acts. I remember when we were in the school of ministry and I took 4 semesters of Greek, and I worked on that so hard. I memorized so many words, and my, oh, my, oh, my. But what I got the most out of was Pastor Chuck would come in every week, and he would pick up his Bible, open it up, and ask, where did we finish last week? We'd say, well, it was chapter 2, verse 12, or whatever it was. And he would start on the next verse, and he would never look at his Bible. He would talk for an hour on the book of Acts, wherever we were. And we had no tests on that. We had no memory work on that. But I got maybe more out of that than any other course, really. I mean, there's a place for memorizing. But today, how many memorized words do I know of Greek? Not very many. They come back more quickly if you've memorized them, but we get our mind so filled with so many things that even when we went through the book of Proverbs, I love Proverbs, but looking at 30 Proverbs a week, I could never remember hardly one of them from the last week, right?
Yeah.
And so what I want to do is not teach at all. I just want to read this word, and I want you to listen, and I want you to bring your Bibles. I will continue to print out these, and I'm not trying to say you've got to use your Bible, but your Bible, you're going to get more out of reading from the Bible than you are looking at a piece of paper that's been printed from that. It's the same words, but I just know that when I'm reading my Bible, there's something about the preciousness of that written word. All 66 books, I'm not looking at all 66 books, I'm just looking at one page at a time. But that is the truth. Because not all on this sheet even today is of the Word of God. Almost all of it is, but I got a few comments on there. And they're okay, but you're not going to remember them. And you're never going to find that sheet of paper 6 months from now. But you're going to have your Bible. And I want you to bring the Bible that you use. The Bible, you know, we all have probably a whole handful of Bibles. But I know you have that one Bible that you always have with you. Mm-hmm. Or at least I do. Mm-hmm. It's this one right here. And whenever I want to find out something, I go to this one. Because I know exactly where on the page or no a verse is or wherever else. Not that you have to know that. But it's a point where I always know where this is. I don't know where these sheets of paper are. Now, I've got on p20.com, I've got everything on there in terms of notes and audio going all the way back to 2009 when I started that, and there's we'll soon have the whole Bible on there, and that's not going anywhere. But how often do you get, when you really need something, I got to get on the computer and I got to go find this and I got to go and look it up. You got this, right? So bring this, and while you're here, while we're reading this, full attention to what God is saying. And I'm probably going to do very little of saying, well, the three main points in today's chapter are, I mean, I mentioned that maybe in a summary a little bit, but that's not the main thing. The Spirit is going to speak to each of us if we allow that. And are we listening? And will we just listen and read? Look, because you'll learn more by reading at the same time as you look at with the visual input as you do with the audio input, right? I mean, you can close your eyes and listen to the Word of God too. But for this purpose, I would like for you to read in your own Bible and stay along with it, not out loud. I'd like to be listening to not us talking. I'd like to be listening to him talking. I'll read it because we need to read it. But that's what I think we'll do, and just see how that goes. And maybe by the 1st of December, when we will have finished the book of Acts, we will say, you know, I really grew during this last 6 months. I know we only met for 15, 20 minutes each Saturday, but I went back. I found myself going back during the week and rereading that chapter. And anytime you do that, the Lord's going to speak to you. Oh, I know that chapter so well. No, read it again and you'll find the Lord speaking to you in ways you need it that day, that hour, right? So I hope that is making a little bit of clarity on where we're going anyway. So today we're in Acts chapter 3. We're just picking it up. We have been talking about the last several weeks about Pentecost. Last week we went back to chapter 1 and look how Matthias was chosen and so forth. But as we go on through, I'll usually pick up the last couple of verses of the preceding chapter just for continuity. But we ended chapter 2 with reading from verse 46. So, Father, as we read your word, may we pay heed to you as you speak to us. This word has been written and will last forever. The word of God will never depart. And you have given it to us in writing. You've given us the whole counsel of God. And there's no one here, I don't believe, that does not have a Bible. But are we in it? Are we in it frequently? Are we really spending time? And I was just thinking, you read this chapter slowly, you can read it in 6 minutes, probably less than that. And thinking, how many minutes I have a day? Can I give 6 minutes to reading your word? Oh yeah, I do it all the time. Do I? No, I don't do it every day. I'd like to, I should. So maybe, and not a got to, but get to. We get to read it. We don't have to read it, we get to read it. So as we read this, speak to us through your word in Jesus' name, amen. So the last couple of verses of chapter 2 of Acts. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, chapter 3, a lame man healed. Verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. Walking, leaping, and praising God. And I just have to add here, remember, as a handicapped man, he could never go into the temple his whole life. That had been the first time he could go into the temple. Walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who begged, who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Barbara, I had to think of you on that verse because I know very recently you gave your testimony to a group of women. And if we really give our true testimony of what he has done in our life, it should fill others with wonder and amazement at what he's done for us. Amen. Much more important than healing a man who couldn't walk. Much more important than adding an arm or a leg or healing cancer or anything else. Just think what he's done for you. What he's done. Verse 11, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us? As though by our own power or goodness we made this man walk. Notice again, he's giving the glory to God. Giving all glory to God. Amazing. Verse 15, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Notice whose faith is it that did the healing? It's Jesus' faith. It's his faith that comes, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all, this healing. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, crucified, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among you people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Father, we thank you for this chapter, and we see so much in it as we just let our minds absorb some of the things through your Spirit. And Lord, we've just scratched the surface. And as we go back and reread this and listen to you, you will further give us insight and direction, even what we're to do today, even what we're to do every day. But your word is so good. And so we thank you for this chapter, and we thank you for your word, and thanking you that there's 1,189 of these chapters in the Bible. How many of those 1,189 do we really take the time to read and understand a little bit better? So we thank you for meeting us here this morning, and may your Spirit freely move in us as we spend a few moments now in prayer and just responding as you would put on any of our hearts to respond. And maybe it's in silence that is our best response. But if there's something that we should share, may we be obedient to you, Holy Spirit, in sharing it. Lead us now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, I just thank you for reminding us this morning and this passage of each of us has received a gift from you greater than this man who was lame from birth, no development of feet or anything else really, I guess, and yet he stood up immediately walking and leaping. And we look at that and we say, wow, that is unbelievable. And yet when we think of what you've done for us, it's far greater than that. And you make it so simple for us. You don't say anywhere in the scripture, go save somebody, because we can't. We can't save anybody. But you tell us to go tell everybody what you have done for us. Individual testimony of what you've done in my life. No one else has that testimony, and it is so special, so precious. We remember as the demoniac was healed, you told him to tell no one, but he told everyone. You tell us to tell everyone, and we tell no one. Lord, may our lives speak that message so powerfully that people want you, that they see you in us, and they just can't wait to have you, Lord. Through your Spirit, may that message come through each one of us, Lord.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. 'Cause your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name
Yes, Lord, you are holy forever. We praise your name. Thank you for this morning, Lord. May we follow you this whole day, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a little teaser question for you. There are three characteristics, I think, that stood out to me in chapter 3 of godly people that he uses. And as you read it, make a note of those three things, and I'll give you a clue. I would look at verse 1, verse 6, and verse 12.
What, 6 and 12?
So see what you come up with next week. See you next week. Thank you. Okay.